financially and prayerfully participating in that ministry. What God has done is a result of hard work, gifts, and prayers. And we just praise the Lord for all those things. When you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what do you think of? You should think of the resurrection. Open your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'd like you to stand with me, those that are able, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which was also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We think it's very clear. And we just pray that you would challenge our hearts today to serve thee with the talents and capacities that you have given us to do so. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Constantly, as we go throughout the country, and we've traveled over 16,000 miles, we have visited probably around 24 churches, and preach the gospel, witness, giving out tracts across the country as well. But as I talk to people, I'm constantly challenging them to serve God on their mission field. You say, well, Brother Bill, on their mission field, what does that mean? Well, everybody put your hand on your nose. On it, not in it, on it. Okay, let's go over towards the organ side. Now turn your head back towards the front. Now go towards the orchestra side, which was very nice, by the way, and come back to the front. You notice what happened to your nose? Number one, my nose starts to itch, but it moved. You realize your mission field is just beyond the tip of your nose. Now, God has called us to Brazil, but we have not left our mission field being here in the States in a number of ways. Number one, our mission field is just beyond the tip of our nose. Whether we be in a restaurant, where we be in a gas station, whether we be in a rest stop, traveling across the country, our mission field is right beyond the tip of our nose. Of course, we're still ministering down in Brazil. I record and send two messages to our people down in Brazil every week on YouTube, record them on YouTube, and then put them on our sites, on our webpage, and our Facebook and all those pages that we have. We put them on there so that people can listen to the gospel. So our mission field is just beyond the tip of our nose, but it goes all the way down to Brazil. And even, I've heard that it was even forwarded to, where was that, Colombia, where a pastor used to be a missionary there. He forwarded there. So it's going all over. We have a mission field. All of us have a mission field that's just beyond the tip of our nose. Now here we encounter the missionary Paul as he's writing to some very precious souls to him, people that he had ministered to, people that have had gone into a lot of problems. 1 Corinthians, the book is written to a problematic church. It was a growing church, had a lot of problems because they were a very active church. And it's going to happen. But Paul writes a number of things to encourage them and to correct. So he talks about the resurrection. And he says he was seen of a number of people. Did you count how many people that had seen the Lord after he resurrected from the grave? You had the 12. You had Peter had seen him individually. You have James. And then you have above 500 people had seen the Lord. That's over 512, 513 people had seen the Lord resurrected from the grave. I want you to remember that number, 512 or 513. And then Paul says, then he was seen of me as one that was born out of due time. Okay, what was that? What did he mean by that? He meant that, okay, all these other people spent 3 years with the Lord. And I was not in that group. I was born out of due time. But Paul says some important things here, and I'd like to really point out verses 10 and 11. He says, verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and by his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." When Susan and I, one time we were reading through the book of 1 Corinthians, we read and we got to verse 11, 10 and 11. That struck me right between the eyes. Just hit me. When Paul says, his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Now, I have tried to make investments during the many years of our lives. I have never been successful. Maybe some of you have been successful. I have never been successful. I've lost money on cows. I've lost money on eucalyptus trees. I've lost money in mutual funds. I've lost money. I'd like to have the money I've lost without any interest. I've lost. But when I invested money, when you invested money, what did you want? You wanted a return, and not a small return, a big return. You've seen advertisements where it says that you can get, on this particular investment, you get 10%, and then you get this, that, and the other, and then after they give you all these glorious terms, what do they say? You have that thing that's recorded very quickly. You cannot understand it. Blah, 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 blah. And it goes through. What they're doing, they're saying past performance and not an indication of future gains. What are they saying? Well, we put this before you, but it's really not that way. But you know, when I read this verse, I realized, hey, God has invested in your life and my life. God has invested. And what does God want? He wants a return. And Paul says, okay, these 512 plus people, the larger portion of them still are living today, but some have died and gone on to be with the Lord, have seen the Lord resurrected. And then he says, but you know, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, for I worked more than they all. How many of you have your or have had your own personal business? Okay, what do you want out of your employees? That they work hard, okay? Paul said, okay, I am what I am, but I worked more than they all. Would you like to have an employee that worked harder than 512 people? Wow, now that would be all right, wouldn't it? Generally, you have to go and knock on the door of the bathroom saying, are you done yet? It's time to work. We'd like someone that would work more than they all. And that's what Paul said. Okay, you say, but Brother Bill, wait a minute. I could never do what was on the presentation. I could never do that. You're telling the wrong person. Why couldn't you do it? Well, I could never learn a foreign language. Let me tell you something. I have studied 3 foreign languages. That's pretty good, isn't it? I got an F in German in high school. I got a D in Spanish in junior college. I told my Spanish teacher in junior college, I don't even know what I'm doing in this course. He said, I tend to agree with you. When we went to Brazil, and I'll get back to that, when we went to Brazil and they started talking about verbs conjugated, you know, I go, you go, he goes, that's a conjugation verb. I didn't know that. When they started talking about personal articles, I thought those were the things you put in the underwear drawer. You know, the personal article. You say, Bill, you're teasing. I am not. That's the truth. I remember when I was trying to learn the language, and I just couldn't. See, I'm a third-generation mechanic. My grandfather, my great-uncle were mechanics. My great-uncle had his own airplane. He worked on his own airplane and all. My dad and my uncle were mechanics. My brother's a mechanic. I was a mechanic on a B-52. I fixed my own cars until they got all this computer stuff, and nobody can even open the hood today without finding out where the button is to open up the hood. But I was a mechanic. Mechanics aren't known for their linguistic ability. They're smart people, but they aren't known for their linguistic ability. Why? Well, a mechanic, there's a problem, and he traces that problem back to the cause. He replaces the cause at no small amount of money, but he goes back and he replaces that part, takes care of the problem, he tests it, and takes care of it. Okay, I was studying the language. And every time they would say, okay, if a word turns ends in A, it's feminine. If it ends in O, it's masculine. I said, okay, I can do that. So the word for problem is problema. What should it be, masculine or feminine? It's masculine. Cinema, theater. What should it be? What is it? Mapa. What should it be? What is it? And every time I'd say, why is that? Because I'm a mechanic. It's a problem, you go back, and that's a cause, and you go back and fix it. What would they say? There is no reason, it's just that way. One day I was seated on the edge of our bed. We had a very small house. I was seated on the edge of our bed, and I was actually crying because I was scared to death I'd never be able to learn that language. And my sweet wife, that has those brown eyes, you know, just so tender, you know, she came up to me and looked at me so miserable, wanting to learn the language. And you know what she did? She said, just memorize, will you? Stop asking questions. Can you imagine her doing that? She did it. Didn't you do it? She did it. You know what I did? I stopped asking questions and just started memorizing. So don't come up to me and tell me I can never learn a language. Well, you say, well, Brother Bill, I just don't have the talent you do. I was a physical education major at Bob Jones University. For years, when I was there, I squeezed the four-year program into five. Okay, I worked nights and all. For years, I was saying, God, what do you want me to do? I'll go anywhere you want me to go, but I will not go to California. I joined the military during the Vietnam War to get out of California. They stationed me 72 miles from where I grew up. I wanted to see someplace else. I married, and the Lord kept me there at that Air Force base. I went to Guam and served there for a while we sent bombers over Vietnam. But the reason was I had to meet this young lady. And I met her, and now we've been married for 50 years. So God had a reason for me being there. But I got out of California. We moved to South Carolina. I was out of there. I said, God, I'll go anywhere but California. I'll not go back there. You know what God called me to do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Until on April 13, 1975, I told our pastor was preaching from 1 Corinthians 16:9. Says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. He said, God opens up a door. He doesn't open up two or three doors and say, okay, my son, through your infinite wisdom, you choose which one you, you want to go through. He said, you go through that door. If you don't, you're in sin. That night, I told Susan, I said, let's go for it. He said, what for? I said, I'll tell you later. We went for it, and I told the pastor, I'm willing to go anywhere and do anything God wants me to do. I was a physical education major, so I sent out my resumes where? California. I was serious. God, you want me there? I'll go there. And God didn't open that door, but he started putting on my heart the desire to be a missionary. We are missionaries today because we wanted to be. But I wanted to go to either England, Australia, or Canada. Why? Speaking English, people would say, well, have you thought about Brazil? I say, they don't speak English there. I could never learn a language, a foreign language. Today, bringing it 44 years later, I have a member of our church. And he told me, he said, and he's not the type of guy to tell you what you want to hear. He's an honest guy. He said, Pastor, I know you're preoccupied about your language. You work hard on it and all. He said, I want you to know, I can hardly even hear an accent in your language. Your language is very good. That's a guy who didn't even know a conjugation of a verb was, or the article. God can make you able to do what he calls you to do. There's no doubt about it. Going back to the physical education, years after we were on the field, I talked to one of my teachers. It was a pastor of a church down Greenville area. And I said, I never understood why I was a physical education major. He said, Bill, you know, we as teachers used to talk about that. We could never understand it either. I was a klutz. I had, you know, you have these proficiency things you got to do to show that you know how to do the sport. I had to take every class. I don't think I passed a single proficiency. Took all the classes. But you saw in the video today why God directed me to be a physical education major. Camping. I mean, all the games, I'm the one that's in charge of organizing everything, and Susan's in charge of organizing that kitchen. She does a very good job, by the way. But all the games and all the organization, everything was because of being an education major and being physical education. God designed it that way. So when Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, we could kind of adjust that translation and put it in a more correct Bill Kiefer original English type translation and say, by the grace of God, you are what you are. God made you exactly the way he wanted you to be. Okay, now, our sinful nature has perverted that in a certain amount. But he has given you the talents he wants you to use for his honor and glory. Do you have to use it in Brazil? No. You just have to reach the mission field that's beyond the tip of your nose. You might say to me, Bill, I'm timid. It's just not in me. If I were to sit down next to a timid person and talk to them about the Lord, with this nice, quiet voice that I have, I'd probably scare them half to death. But you're timid. You know how a timid person feels. You can sit down next to them, and you can talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just wait. I'm not exactly timid, but, you know, I've had so many tragedies in my life. Great. You can sit down next to that person who's had a lot of tragedies in their life, and you say, you know, I haven't gone through exactly what you're going through, but I've had some difficulties in my life, and I know how you feel. God's made you like he wants you to be, so don't hide behind that. Yeah, if you're a mechanic, you can learn a language. You learned English, didn't you? Well, kind of, sort of. Okay, you learned English, you can do it, because God has built you just the way he wants you, so you can reach your mission field around you. Paul said, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul's saying, hey, it wasn't me, it's God. And you and I can say the same thing. Hey, it's not me, it's God working through you or me in the mission field he has placed you, doing the job he has placed you to do. And then finally, in verse 11, he says, therefore, whether it be I or they, we preach, and so ye believed. You cannot give what you don't have. I could tell, you know, it's on the slide presentation. we're looking to see the Lord provide $200,000 so that we can build a purchase property and build a church down in Brazil. Okay, someone could come up to me and say, well, I want to give you that $200,000 to build that building. I said, oh, wow, that's great. I just got one problem. And they say, and I'd say, what? I don't have the money. Well, that is a problem, right? You can't give what you don't have. So this morning I would challenge you, if you don't have that security that you have repented of your sin and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where to start. You say, well, Brother Bill, I'm very religious. I go to church all the time. I was religious also. I went to church every Sunday. My brother and my two sisters went to church every Sunday. Sometimes they didn't want to go to church, but they went anyway. Guys say, let's go to church. I don't want to. I would convince them they ought to go to church. Physically, just okay. Afterwards, I asked them to forgive me for being so brutish, by the way. But still, I was very religious, but I didn't know God. I knew all the stories, but I didn't know the author of those stories. I could tell you about Abraham and Jonah and all the great stories, but I couldn't tell you how to know God. Maybe you're in that position this morning. Maybe you're very religious. Maybe you've been to church all your life, but you don't know God in a personal way. I would challenge you this morning to seek help. Pastor's here. His wife's here. If you're a lady or a man, you can talk to pastor. Wife can talk to pastor's wife. You can talk to me, talk to my wife, talk to a number of people here. Get with someone that can show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. And so that you can know for sure that you have a life that's blessed by God right now. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more than they all. That's Paul. And we need to be, that needs to be Bill, that needs to be you. We all need to reach our mission field for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dearly Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Thank you for the opportunity just to present what you have done down in Brazil. We just pray that you continue to do the wonderful things you have already done and do even more. We pray for that $200,000 that we need to build that church. We pray for the three couples that we need that would come down to serve thee. Lord, we need help, and we trust thee for all the help that we need, because we know that you're the sovereign God that has promised to provide for all our necessities. We thank for this day, Lord. We pray for those people or a person, whatever it may be, that might need to know thee as personal Savior, that they would repent of sin, that they would turn to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.